This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham. Taking you up to 9:10 before we dish things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They will bring you Nats and Padres pregame coverage. It's going at 9:10 with Nats on deck. Mackenzie Gore on the bump tonight for DC. It's a 9:40 first pitch. As always, you can catch all of the action right here on the Fan. Drama, extra innings last night for game one of Nats and Padres. We talked about it last night. Before the game came on the air, massive series for the Nats, and really they're in a super important portion of their schedule in terms of what their intentions will be come the trade deadline. And real quickly here, as we have mentioned, two out of their next four series are against teams that they are jockeying with for playoff positioning in the National League wildcard race. They've got two more against San Diego. They've got three against Tampa Bay, which they're on the road for. Then they're back home for eight straight games. Four against the Mets, who are a game and a half back of the Nats. And then they've got four in a row against the St. Louis Cardinals, who currently hold down that number two wild card spot in the National League. So we get a lot of questions answered about the Nats coming up here in the coming weeks. Big time baseball set to be played right here on Half Street. Right now, though, want to continue to talk all things Washington Wizards. We just had Josh Robbins on the line from The Athletic. It's crazy. As I was tweeting, or as I was looking on Twitter, it was Evan Sidiri of Clutch Points just tweeted out that Josh Robbins of The Athletic is reporting Washington would be interested in acquiring another first-round pick. They've already got two. Number two overall, and then number 26 overall. The report out there from folks over at The Athletic, Sam Amick, Anthony Slater, both reporting that the Sacramento Kings would be interested in acquiring Kyle Kuzma from the Wizards, and the thought process based on the way Sacramento's last trade negotiations have gone, as they tried to get Alex Caruso from Chicago. They were dangling that number 13 overall pick. The thought and the belief in NBA circles is that they would dangle that 13 overall pick in a Kyle Kuzma package as well, which really gets me thinking, because I ain't going to lie with you. I love Kyle Kuzma. Drip aficionado. Gets buckets. Pillar in the community. Like, he has been excellent since he's come here to Washington, and I think he's grown up as a man. But if Sacramento is offering the number 13 overall pick for Kyle Kuzma, I don't want to tell them to just run to the podium and turn it in, because you got to get a little bit greedy, right, in your negotiation. Well, let me get Kevin Herter too, right? Now, obviously, I don't think – let me not say that, because I don't – not anything is possible. If they offer Kevin Herter and number 13 for Kuz, sign me the hell up. Point blank. I would do it in a heartbeat. I would. But mainly the reason for that is you want that number 13 overall pick. Washington has to do what they can over the next year plus to acquire the most future first round picks as possible. And I'm not saying that they should just be out there tanking. This is the thing. With their number 26 overall pick, this is why the NBA draft, I think, is beautiful. And I love when they say they're lacking talent in this draft. Like, kiss my ass. Because let's just be real here. If they draft someone at 26 and they come in and end up being a building block and a key cog to this rebuild, your rebuild gets expedited. Look at Philadelphia. Tyrese Maxey was all NBA this past year. He was the number 22 overall pick. So don't tell me. I just put it to you like this. Good teams consistently find talent all throughout the draft. There are 60 picks, gosh darn it, for a reason. So find the talent. Point blank. Now, when you look at Washington's roster in terms of guaranteed money moving forward, the largest guarantee belongs to Jordan Poole. He's got $123 million guaranteed between now and the 2026-2027 year. Second largest guarantee for Washington is Kyle Kuzma. $90 million guaranteed between now and 2026. If you can get those guarantees off your books, I know people are going to say, well, what is cap space doing in today's day and age in the NBA? Shut up. Please listen to me. Let me make you smarter. Because you have acquired, or because you have brought in Mike Winger, Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, and you don't got that damn used car salesman, Tommy Shepard, negotiating with teams, people are going to want to come here. I fully believe that. D.C. is a great place to live. The DMV is a great place to come live and raise a family at. You want to have cap space moving forward because you never know. You never know who becomes available, who can force their way out of the situation. And when you acquire the first round picks that Washington is trying to acquire, that becomes assets for maybe trading for a bigger name star. That's how I look at it. But look, I'd be willing to move on from Kyle Kuzma, especially if it's for the number 13 pick, because I just am of the belief that, look, as many bites at the apple as you have as possible, the better, right? You can get a franchise-altering talent in this draft. Guess what? You just got to find it. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. I said it again. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. But I'm confident, though, man. It's a quiet confidence that I have. Because I'll be honest, doing the draft show last year, when Bilal Coulibaly was the pick, I looked next to my co-host and I said, who? You know, you had started to see Bilal's name gain steam as the pre-draft process was going about. But Washington, to their credit, had already been scouting Bilal. Will Dawkins was already scouting him in Oklahoma City. So I trust their scouting department, and I trust the guys leading the draft that they're going to hit. Because Tristan Vucevic, their second-round pick from last year, when he came over, the final was 10, 11 games of the season. He looked pretty good. So I'm all in on the Wizards making a move, dealing Kyle Kuzma for another lottery pick. I'm all for it. Just think about it like this. What if all three of the picks hit? I'm talking about two. Say you get 13 for Kuz and then 26. What if all of those picks hit? Then what? Then you all of a sudden expedited your rebuild if you're the Washington Wizards. So I hear all the hubbub about this draft class being weak and whatnot, but man, if you can pick players, you can pick players. Point blank, period. And I happen to think, based on the reporting and what we're hearing, that sweet spot for the draft is 10 to late 20s. So we'll see what ends up happening. We'll see, though. The other thing that we didn't hit on with Josh, this is according to Jonathan Givony of ESPN. NBA teams say the Hawks are indicating they could take Saar at one, and some are speculating that that just may be an attempt to force the Wizards to trade up, even if they got to trade up for Saar. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Point blank, though, I think either Saar or Risha Shea, whoever they end up with the two, could be a building block moving forward. And Alex Saar, if you had to ask me right now who I'd prefer, Alex Saar or Zachary Risha Shea, I would go Saar because I think there's a more clear path to him getting playing time. You throw in Risha Shea and you throw him into the logjam the Wizards have at the three spot, or the two spot for that matter, and you wonder how quickly he'll be able to contribute. I'm cool with moving off Kuzma, drafting Saar, sliding him in at the four, having Tristan Vukovic be your five, or hear me out, maybe you draft your starting five with pick number 13. We've seen the way big men have been drafted here in recent memory. What if the Wizards end up with Zach Edey, 13 overall? I don't know if they'd actually pull the trigger on that, but my point is this. Saar is a four, I would think, and wants to play the four. Depending on how you feel about Tristan Vukovic, you can slide him in at your five to be your starting five next year, or you use either 13, which I can't keep saying 13. You can use your second first-round pick, whatever spot that ends up being at, to draft a big man that can come in and start right away. ESPN's mock draft right now that was put out an hour ago, insider's piece from Jonathan Givony and friends, has the Wizards taking Alex Saar, number two overall, and then with their second first-round pick, I would love this, Kal-El Ware, this center out of Indiana. I would love a front court of Alex Saar and Kal-El Ware. Are you kidding? Tremendous upside. Upside out the wazoo. I'm here for it, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll touch on the Washington Commanders here. The Commanders sitting about a month away from training camp. The buzz sky high surrounding new quarterback Jaden Daniels. The national buzz running rampant. We'll let you hear what ESPN NFL insider Lewis Riddick had to say about how quickly Jaden Daniels can hit the ground running. That's next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fans. The youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham, will take you up to 9:10 Nats baseball. Coming up once again tonight here on The Fan, game two of their three-game set with the San Diego Padres. Hopefully, they fare better than what they fared last night. Losing in heartbreaking fashion last night in the 10th inning off a walk-off homer. We'll see if the Nats are able to bounce back here tonight. As we continue to mention, a game and a half back of the San Diego Padres for that third and final wild-card spot in the National League, Mackenzie Gore. Set to get the start tonight, 9:40 first pitch. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave gets cracking at 9:10 right here on The Fan. Coming up in about 10 minutes, as promised, our pal Jory Epstein, longtime NFL senior reporter for YahooSports.com, is set to join us. She was out in Ashburn during mandatory minicamp and got an exclusive one-on-one with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and began to get some of the nuggets in reasoning as to why Jaden Daniels is expected to hit the ground running in Washington. Great insight in Jory's piece online at yahoosports.com about the Commanders, as we let you know last night, giving Jaden Daniels 24-hour access to the facility. And through Jory's piece, based off of what else has been reported, Jaden Daniels is made up of all the right stuff. And as I continue to say, if he fails or struggles in year one, it won't be because of a lack of hard work. This kid works his ass off. And I think that mentality, that thought process, is something that I think can be contagious and hopefully improve the overall work ethic and in better the habits of the rest of the football team. That's just how I look at it. I think there could be a massive, massive trickle-down effect with Jaden Daniels committing himself to being great the way that he has. Hopefully there is a trickle-down effect. But like I said, national media pundits across the NFL are going crazy about what they think Jaden Daniels can be in year one. The talk around the water cooler within NFL circles, this is scouts, executives, they're all intrigued about what Jaden Daniels can be early on with the Washington Commanders, including friend of the program, ESPN NFL analyst Lewis Riddick, a couple of days ago on NFL Live, bullish on Jaden Daniels in year one.
Och, how do you expect Daniels and this team, the Commanders, to play in year one?
I expect Jaden Daniels to have success year one. In fact, early success. The reason I think of that is I go back to his college days, Arizona State. Early on, he struggled. Then you saw him get better and better as his years progressed. I know this shows the first 3 years at ASU versus the last two at LSU, the huge difference. But if you dive even deeper into the 2022 season, his first year at LSU, and the 2023 season, He improved drastically, tremendously. I mean, this last year, 40 passing touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns, and Heisman Trophy. But he got better as a runner. He got even better as a passer. And so for me, I'm looking at what he did to get to that level, him repeating those actions and to stay at that level of success. That's why I get excited about Jaden Daniels, his rapid rise to success.
And I think that rapid rise that we saw last year at LSU, 100% attributed to the work ethic. Our pal Jory Epstein will get into that when she joins the program coming up next. But for Jaden, last year at LSU, the Commanders did a lot of homework into why he was able to succeed last year at LSU, and everything that has come out of Ashburn to this point is they're doing whatever they can to give him a similar structure to allow that work ethic to shine bright and shine through. There's a quote from Dan Quinn in the piece that Jory Epstein put out, and I retweeted it out. It's at @NELL_BTP. The best way to describe it is it's almost like last year, Jaden Daniels got to see what hard work and selflessness would get him, and he's of the mindset that, well, if all I got to do is work hard and I'll be good, then I'm going to continue to work hard. Here is ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick from a couple of days ago, former GM in the National Football League, or former scout, rather, in the National Football League, giving his thoughts on why Jaden Daniels could hit the ground running in D.C.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Look, I think everyone knows how I feel about Jaden Daniels. I feel like he is going to have the kind of season that, again, is going to have our eyes popping out of our head and going, maybe there really was some truth to that debate that Lewis was having as far as who was the best quarterback in this draft. And look, I think that's not a knock on Caleb Williams before anybody gets all, you know, up in arms about this. But look, the kid really did lean into every challenge that he had down in LSU, and he took every step he possibly could take to go ahead and maximize what he had in front of him. And that's exactly what he's doing in Washington. Now, in Washington, it's going to be important for this offensive line to go ahead and not make it so Jaden Daniels has to be running for his life and taking hits like he did down there in the SEC. Look, it was brutal, some of the hits he took down there. So you know in the NFC and in the East, he starts taking some of them hits. I don't know if he's going to last 17. He can't do that. That kind of thing, they can't happen. So it's going to be incumbent upon Cliff to make sure he gives him enough answers to where he doesn't have to absorb this kind of punishment behind an offensive line that, quite honestly, when you're looking at all the young quarterbacks, this is the offensive line that I have some consternation about.
Louis Riddick bringing up a key point. While bullish on what Jaden can be in year one, I think Louis makes a valid point, but something that I feel kind of honestly is being overstated is that this offensive line needs to provide support for Jaden Daniels in order to have success in year one. I continue to believe it could also work vice versa, talking about that relationship between Jaden Daniels and the offensive line. I think him getting the ball out on time, not holding it, and getting through his progressions as smoothly as he does will help this offensive line because, quite frankly, I don't think they're going to be asked to do as much. Now, one thing that I continue to say, the most important piece to this Commanders offensive line having success, I would say, is the offensive coordinator and play caller, Cliff Kingsbury, because we saw it last year. When you drop your quarterback back 35-plus times a contest, it puts so much stress on your offensive line. And it's a big reason why that group, according to public perception, really, really struggled last year. I don't think they were as bad as advertised. I think the whole offensive operation was garbage. But with the new quarterback under center, I think the offensive line woes from last year won't be under the microscope as much. I guess it's the best way that I can put it. As promised, on the other side of the break, our pal Jory Epstein, senior NFL writer for YahooSports.com, set to join the program. She got to sit down with new Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and got plenty of insight on why Jaden Daniels' transition from LSU to Ashburn has been seamless. She'll give us more of those nuggets next here on The Fan. Yes, indeed. He's still rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9:10 before we dish things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They get you warmed up for Nats and Padres coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. It is a 9:40 first pitch. Make sure you keep it locked here on the Fan all night to see game two of Nats and Padres. As we've mentioned, Nats losing in heartbreaking fashion last night in extra innings. So hopefully they're able to right their wrongs here tonight. Mackenzie Gore on the bump for DC. And as always, you can hear all of the action right here on The Fan. Right now, I'm going to keep things on the burgundy and gold. The Washington Commanders about 3 weeks away from reporting for training camp, an all-important training camp coming up for the future of this franchise. We're joined right now on the BetQL guest hotline by our pal Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter for YahooSports.com. Make sure you give her a follow on the old X app at Jory Epstein. Jory, I appreciate you giving us some time tonight.
Absolutely. Great to be on, Linnell. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Jory, as you heard in my introduction leading you in, I go by the Youngest in Charge movement. I'm just 26 years of age. So my vision of Washington football, I'm a jaded fan at heart, right? Like, I have sat through some of the brutal years of this franchise. I remember the Robert Griffin III saga back in 2012, back in 2019. I thought Dwayne Haskins was going to be the savior. I remember Joe Gibbs 2.0. During your time in Ashburn, when you got to sit down with the new head man here in charge, Dan Quinn, why should Washington fans feel like this regime, this reset, is going to be different?
Absolutely. I spent 3 years with Dan Quinn in Dallas. I'm currently based in New York, but worked in Dallas while he was with the Cowboys. And I saw the way that he transformed players on the field, like Micah Parsons, who went from being a linebacker to a pass rusher who could do a little bit of everything. Jaron Curse, who went from safety to a hybrid linebacker safety position. And all along, this is a team that was playing hard. They were playing explosive for the defense, which means they led the league in takeaways 3 straight years. And I think that to say that it was just the personnel would discount the fact that Dan Quinn had a vision for how to use the personnel and elevated to them to that. And so I think when I go to Washington, I sat down with several players, several coaches, and I kept hearing the vibes are great, the energy is great. And I'm like, okay, like, show me, don't tell me. I don't just need you to tell me the vibes are great. And then I started to realize, well, think about what you guys have experienced in Washington for the last 10 years, especially 5 on the field, off the field. You haven't been having winning seasons. You haven't even had a franchise that has been a focus because of football. And now you have Dan Quinn coming in. They're screaming and competing and all the good things at practice. And it's like, well, maybe this is the energy the team needs for a reset.
Jory, I was really enjoying the piece that you put out earlier this afternoon, right before our show started. Make sure you check out Jory's work at yahoosports.com. I'll retweet the link out. It's at NELL_BTP. This piece that you put out earlier today, I think, really did a tremendous job highlighting some of what Dan Quinn has learned since he was last a head coach with the Atlanta Falcons. I'll never forget, Jory, during his introductory press conference, I'm forgetting the exact number, but he knew the exact amount of days it had been since he was fired as the head coach in Atlanta. Dan Quinn going to be a big part of why this thing goes in the right direction, but talk a little bit about how Dan is leaning on others around him to make the transition a little bit easier this time around.
Yeah, what interested me is not only what Dan can do, but also what he hasn't yet done. Because if you look at the franchise, if Jaden Daniels doesn't succeed, this is not going to be a successful team in the coming years. Like, that's really integral to the success. And Dan has competed in a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl as defensive coordinator, and he's played in a Super Bowl as head coach or competed as head coach. At the Cowboys, he was having 12-win season after 12-win season, but he has not been around a rookie quarterback who was drafted that highly because he had Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, and then Dak Prescott. So I said, well, you know how to develop, and I get that you know how to develop, but what does that look like for a rookie quarterback? And I loved his answer because, first of all, as you guys know, Cliff Kingsbury, his offensive coordinator, has developed a rookie quarterback, drafted Kyler Murray first overall, spent 4 years with him, and built an offense that catered to his strengths. And the Commanders did tell me when I visited that they already have taken principles that were really familiar to Jaden at LSU, that he spent a lot of time throwing so that he was familiar with the concepts, familiar with the drops and the timing, and put that into the Commanders' playbook. But also Dan said, hey, Anthony Lynn, who's on the staff as run game coordinator and running backs coach. Well, you were the head coach when you guys drafted Justin Herbert in the first round, 6th overall. What did you learn about how a rookie quarterback learns? And he told Anthony, I don't want to have this conversation today. Come back to me tomorrow. Think about it for a day, and then let's sit down. This was not a passing comment. This was, I want you to come back to me with well-formed thoughts of, even for a guy who's super smart, even for a guy who learns well, there's going to be a point at which it's saturation. It's no longer beneficial to overwhelm them with volume. And that's what they're trying to figure out with Jaden Daniels. And I think that in my time around the team and around people who are working closely with Jaden Daniels, if he has the work ethic that we're hearing about to get there at 5:45 in the morning and hey, I'm not a morning person, so I really respect that. If he can have that work ethic and the coaching staff understands how he needs to learn, that combination should be the foundation to get him where he needs to go. Now, I can't tell you whether that's going to be by October or years, but they seem to have the right ingredients and the recipe that I would recommend if I were in the building.
Joy, that stuff in what you reported in your piece over the weekend is the stuff that makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Because think about this from a Washington fan's perspective. Back in 2012, when you talk about Robert Griffin III and what was going to make him special, the first thing people talk about, Jory, is the athleticism, the ability to make you miss in a phone booth, and then the arm talent. For Dwayne Haskins, the first thing that you talk about is how the ball jumps out of his hands, and Urban Meyer called him the best 7-on-7 quarterback he had ever seen in his life. With Jaden Daniels, the thing that I love, first thing that people talk about with this young man is the work ethic. Not about what talent he has, but the work ethic. When it comes to just how hard he is working, what were you able to learn during your time in Ashburn with the Commanders last week or a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that that resonates with you, given you said, what, you're 26 years old, 27,
yes.
And you're already in this role on the radio. So clearly you've done hard work yourself, Linnell. But
I appreciate it.
I think that what stood out to me is this is a guy who he's disciplined. At LSU, he had them change the fingerprint access so he could get into the building late at night and early in the morning. He would do his own film study. He would do virtual reality film study. He would get the receivers there at all hours for throwing sessions. And so he's not simply waking up early and then doing nothing with it. He has a routine. I talked to your new center, Tyler Biadasz, who I worked with in Dallas when he was with the Cowboys. And I was like, hey, what time are you getting here? And he was like, well, actually, I tried to get here at 6 a.m. the other day to get extra snaps in with Jaden. I didn't realize he has a schedule at that time. He was going in. He had done the walkthrough in the bubble. Then he was lifting. Then he was showering. Then he was eating breakfast. I mean, he's crossing four things off his to-do list by 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, this is a 23-year-old kid. And so when I think, oh, can the rookie quarterback figure out what it means to be a pro? I think he figured that out at LSU last year. And again, he had 5 years in college. On top of that, when you think about on the field, this is someone who saw 5 years worth of defenses in college. So he does have some mental arsenal of the types of things he'll face. Obviously, he'll be facing some new things at the NFL level, and he'll be facing stronger, faster, more athletic guys across the board. But I think that he will have that mental playbook to pull from. And then you look at him, and the staff says, we view Jaden as a dual threat quarterback. We're going to have design runs for him, but expect those design runs to be space plays kind of around the edges, not up the A and B gaps, because they don't want to risk that from a health standpoint. And also, they view him as a mobile quarterback who will use his mobility first to pass and then to run. And so I think that's important, that this is not a runner that they're bringing in behind center. This is a mobile quarterback who will pass and then also be able to beat you with his feet when he wants to and when it's the best for the playbook.
Jory, it's all music to my ears for a guy that, look, I'm staking my claim as the most optimistic member of the media here locally. I think if the quarterback is able to hit the ground running, based on the other ancillary moves they made in between the margins with this team, they could really surprise some folks in the NFC. I'm talking 9-10 wins here in year one. In terms of how they're managing expectations internally, how quickly, based on your conversation, does Dan Quinn and company think they could turn this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, some of this is from my conversations, and some of this is what he said publicly, which is that he doesn't view this as a rebuild. He views it as a recalibration. And if you want the entire thesaurus for rebuild, go to NFL coaches in the first year of a new quarterback, a new organization. I mean, they've got it. But what I think is the point here is they're focused on the work, and that sounds so cliche, but I'll tell you in a second why I think it's not. And so for Dan, he says, I'm going to be where my feet are. I'm going to say, how do I have the best OTAs and the best training camp? And then, okay, well, to say how quickly they're going to be back. They haven't even decided when Jaden's going to start yet. Now, yeah. Do I think it's going to be week one? Yes, I think Jaden will be your starter week one. Do I like that they're actually not giving that to him yet, and he's showing the work ethic and proving to his teammates why he'll have earned that, not only with his skill, but also with his demeanor? Yes, I think that's great. And so in terms of how long it will take, I think the question is, well, they view it as, we have the outlines of our scheme, but during training camp, when we can actually get the pads on and actually testing, then we'll understand, can this guy do this? Can this guy do that? One of the stories that Dan told me that I actually didn't include in my story, because there's always so much that ends up in a cutting board,
right,
is that when he and Adam Peters, your general manager, were talking in the lead up to free agency, they made lists of, let's see, needs and wants. Like, we cannot go out on the field without a new quarterback. We need a left guard. It'd be great if we had another running back. And that's how they classified everything. And he said there were some times when he would look at a player and say, I think this guy can do A, B, and C. And Adam Peters would be like, well, maybe, but he hasn't shown that yet. So I'm not willing to stake my claim on knowing he can do that. And so I think that when you hear these conversations, you understand why it's not cliche to say we don't have a set time by which we are going to be reaching those levels of success, because these are the types of conversations they're having now about what their personnel can do, how that fits into their scheme.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bedroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. He's still rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9:10 before we dish things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They get you warmed up for Nats and Padres coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. It is a 9:40 first pitch. Make sure you keep it locked here on the Fan all night to see game two of Nats and Padres. As we've mentioned, Nats losing in heartbreaking fashion last night in extra innings. So hopefully they're able to right their wrongs here tonight. Mackenzie Gore on the bump for DC, and as always, you can hear all of the action right here on The Fan. Right now, I'm going to keep things on the burgundy and gold. The Washington Commanders about 3 weeks away from reporting for training camp, an all-important training camp coming up for the future of this franchise. We're joined right now on the BetQL guest hotline by our pal Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter for YahooSports.com. Make sure you give her a follow on the old X app at Jory Epstein. Jory, I appreciate you giving us some time tonight.
Absolutely. Great to be on, Linnell. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Jory, as you heard in my introduction in leading you in, I go by the youngest in charge, Ruben. I'm just 26 years of age. So my vision of Washington football, I'm a jaded fan at heart, right? Like, I have sat through some of the brutal years of this franchise. I remember the Robert Griffin III saga back in 2012, back in 2019. I thought Dwayne Haskins was going to be the savior. I remember Joe Gibbs 2.0. During your time in Ashburn, when you got to sit down with the new head man here in charge, Dan Quinn, why should Washington fans feel like this regime, this reset, is going to be different?
Absolutely. I spent 3 years with Dan Quinn in Dallas. I'm currently based in New York, but worked in Dallas while he was with the Cowboys. And I saw the way that he transformed players on the field, like Micah Parsons, who went from being a linebacker to a pass rusher who could do a little bit of everything. Jaron Curse, who went from safety to a hybrid linebacker safety position. And all along, this is a team that was playing hard. They were playing explosive for the defense, which means they led the league in takeaways 3 straight years. And I think that to say that it was just the personnel would discount the fact that Dan Quinn had a vision for how to use the personnel and elevated to them to that. And so I think when I go to Washington, I sat down with several players, several coaches, and I kept hearing the vibes are great, the energy is great. And I'm like, okay, like, show me, don't tell me. I don't just need you to tell me the vibes are great. And then I started to realize, well, think about what you guys have experienced in Washington for the last 10 years, especially 5 on the field, off the field. You haven't been having winning seasons. You haven't even had a franchise that has been a focus because of football. And now you have Dan Quinn coming in. They're screaming and competing and all the good things at practice. And it's like, well, maybe this is the energy the team needs for a reset.
Jory, I was really enjoying the piece that you put out earlier this afternoon, right before our show started. Make sure you check out Jory's work at yahoosports.com. I'll retweet the link out. It's at NELL_BTP. This piece that you put out earlier today, I think, really did a tremendous job highlighting some of what Dan Quinn has learned since he was last a head coach with the Atlanta Falcons. I'll never forget, Jory, during his introductory press conference, I'm forgetting the exact number, but he knew the exact amount of days it had been since he was fired as the head coach in Atlanta. Dan Quinn going to be a big part of why this thing goes in the right direction, but talk a little bit about how Dan is leaning on others around him to make the transition a little bit easier this time around.
Yeah, what interested me is not only what Dan can do, but also what he hasn't yet done. Because if you look at the franchise, if Jaden Daniels doesn't succeed, this is not going to be a successful team in the coming years. Like, that's really integral to the success. And Dan has competed in a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl as defensive coordinator, and he's played in a Super Bowl as head coach or competed as head coach. At the Cowboys, he was having 12-win season after 12-win season. But he has not been around a rookie quarterback who was drafted that highly because he had Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, and then Dak Prescott. So I said, well, you know how to develop, and I get that you know how to develop, but what does that look like for a rookie quarterback? And I loved his answer because, first of all, as you guys know, Cliff Kingsbury, as offensive coordinator, has developed a rookie quarterback, drafted Kyler Murray first overall, spent 4 years with him, and built an offense that catered to his strengths. And the Commanders did tell me when I visited that they already have taken principles that were really familiar to Jaden at LSU, that he spent a lot of time throwing so that he was familiar with the concepts, familiar with the drops and the timing, and put that into the Commanders' playbook. But also Dan said, hey, Anthony Lynn, who's on the staff as run game coordinator and running backs coach, well, you were the head coach when you guys drafted Justin Herbert in the first round, 6th overall. What did you learn about how a rookie quarterback learns? And he told Anthony, I don't want to have this conversation today. Come back to me tomorrow. Think about it for a day, and then let's sit down. This was not a passing comment. This was, I want you to come back to me with well-formed thoughts of, even for a guy who's super smart, even for a guy who learns well, there's going to be a point at which it's saturation. It's no longer beneficial to overwhelm them with volume. And that's what they're trying to figure out with Jaden Daniels. And I think that in my time around the team and around people who are working closely with Jaden Daniels, if he has the work ethic that we're hearing about to get there at 5:45 in the morning and hey, I'm not a morning person, so I really respect that. If he can have that work ethic and the coaching staff understands how he needs to learn, that combination should be the foundation to get him where he needs to go. Now, I can't tell you whether that's going to be by October or years, but they seem to have the right ingredients and the recipe that I would recommend if I were in the building.
Jory, that stuff in what you reported in your piece over the weekend is the stuff that makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Because think about this from a Washington fan's perspective. Back in 2012, when you talk about Robert Griffin III and what was going to make him special, the first thing people talk about, Jory, is the athleticism, the ability to make you miss in a phone booth, and then the arm talent. For Dwayne Haskins, the first thing that you talk about is how the ball jumps out of his hands, and Urban Meyer called him the best 7-on-7 quarterback he had ever seen in his life. With Jaden Daniels, the thing that I love, first thing that people talk about with this young man is the work ethic. Not about what talent he has, but the work ethic. When it comes to just how hard he is working, what were you able to learn during your time in Ashburn with the Commanders last week or a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that that resonates with you, given you said, what, you're 26 years old, 27,
yes.
And you're already in this role on the radio. So clearly you've done hard work yourself, Linnell. But
I appreciate it.
I think that what stood out to me is this is a guy who he's disciplined. At LSU, he had them change the fingerprint access so he could get into the building late at night and early in the morning. He would do his own film study. He would do virtual reality film study. He would get the receivers there at all hours for throwing sessions. And so he's not simply waking up early and then doing nothing with it. He has a routine. I talked to your new center, Tyler Biadasz, who I worked with in Dallas when he was with the Cowboys. And I was like, hey, what time are you getting here? And he was like, well, actually, I tried to get here at 6 a.m. the other day to get extra snaps in with Jaden, and I didn't realize he has a schedule at that time. He was going in. He had done the walkthrough in the bubble. Then he was lifting. Then he was showering. Then he was eating breakfast. I mean, he's crossing four things off his to-do list by 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, this is a 23-year-old kid. And so when I think, oh, can the rookie quarterback figure out what it means to be a pro? I think he figured that out at LSU last year. And again, he had 5 years in college. On top of that, when you think about on the field, this is someone who saw 5 years worth of defenses in college. So he does have some mental arsenal of the types of things he'll face. Obviously, he'll be facing some new things at the NFL level, and he'll be facing stronger, faster, more athletic guys across the board. But I think that he will have that mental playbook to pull from. And then you look at him, and the staff says, we view Jaden as a dual threat quarterback. We're going to have design runs for him, but expect those design runs to be space plays kind of around the edges, not up the A and B gaps, because they don't want to risk that from a health standpoint. And also, they view him as a mobile quarterback who will use his mobility first to pass and then to run. And so I think that's important, that this is not a runner that they're bringing in behind center. This is a mobile quarterback who will pass and then also be able to beat with his feet when he wants to and when it's the best for the playbook.
Jory, it's all music to my ears for a guy that, look, I'm staking my claim as the most optimistic member of the media here locally. I think if the quarterback is able to hit the ground running, based on the other ancillary moves they made in between the margins with this team, they could really surprise some folks in the NFC. I'm talking 9-10 wins here in year one. In terms of how they're managing expectations internally, how quickly, based on your conversation, does Dan Quinn and company think they could turn this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, some of this is from my conversations, and some of this is what he said publicly, which is that he doesn't view this as a rebuild. He views it as a recalibration. And if you want the entire thesaurus for rebuild, go to NFL coaches in the first year of a new quarterback, a new organization. I mean, they've got it. But what I think is the point here is they're focused on the work, and that sounds so cliche, but I'll tell you in a second why I think it's not. And so for Dan, he says, I'm going to be where my feet are. I'm going to say, how do I have the best OTAs and the best training camp? And then, okay, well, to say how quickly they're going to be back, they haven't even decided when Jaden's going to start yet. Now, do I think it's going to be week one? Yes, I think Jaden will be your starter week one. Do I like that they're actually not giving that to him yet? And he's showing the work ethic and proving to his teammates why he'll have earned that, not only with his skill, but also with his demeanor. Yes, I think that's great. And so in terms of how long it will take, I think the question is, well, they view it as, we have the outlines of our scheme, but during training camp, when we can actually get the pads on and actually testing, then we'll understand, can this guy do this? Can this guy do that? And one of the stories that Dan told me that I actually didn't include in my story, because there's always so much that ends up in a cutting board,
right,
is that when he and Adam Peters, your general manager, were talking in the lead up to free agency, they made lists of, let's see, needs and wants. Like, we cannot go out on the field without a new quarterback. We need a left guard. It'd be great if we had another running back. And that's how they classified everything. And he said there were some times when he would look at a player and say, I think this guy can do A, B, and C. And Adam Peters would be like, well, maybe, but he hasn't shown that yet. So I'm not willing to stake my claim on knowing he can do that. And so I think that when you hear these conversations, you understand why it's not cliche to say we don't have a set time by which we are going to be reaching those levels of success, because these are the types of conversations they're having now about what their personnel can do, how that fits into their scheme, when they want to be doing that. And, oh, by the way, if you say, well, when are they going to be back to relevance? Well, is relevance number two in the NFC East? Is the relevance making the playoffs? Is relevance winning a playoff game? I mean, I grew up in Dallas, so I understand what you're saying. Where for me, yes, the Cowboys are winning year after year after year, and I've covered those guys. There's a bunch of great humans on that team. But in my lifetime, like, I was 18 months old the last time the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. So I understand what it's like to have that futility.
Yes.
And I think that there's something to be said for understanding. Like, you can't even think, like, the Cowboys are at a place where if they don't win the divisional round, they feel like a failure.
Yeah.
If the Commanders make the playoffs, that should be a huge success. Not because that's the end goal, but because that will give them the life and the energy and the vibes, as they all like to say today, about Dan Quinn's team for the next year. And so I think this is sort of a step-by-step process.
We're joined right now by senior NFL reporter for YahooSports.com, Jory Epstein. Make sure you give her a follow on the X app at Jory Epstein. And make sure you check out her work at YahooSports.com. Amazing insight on the offseason in the transition from LSU to Ashburn for new Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels, as well as how the new head coach Dan Quinn is transitioning here in his second act as a head coach in the NFL. A little bit more on Jaden here. This Brandon Ayuk stuff that has come up, I know you've seen all the rumors about how Ayuk has been pretty publicly jaded with the San Francisco 49ers wanting a new contract. And in the middle of all of this is Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels. In terms of what you've seen throughout covering the National Football League, Jory, as currently constructed, and based on your conversations that you've had with folks in that building, are you comfortable with what Washington has right now at wide receiver in terms of them being enough to help Jaden hit the ground running?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I don't think receiver is one of your more shallow places. Could you use more there? Yes. But I think that Terry and Jahan have a lot of potential. And I think that if Jaden can get the right protection, I don't think receiver is why you would fail this year. I think there are other positions that are probably even more of a need. And I think that when I look at these rumors, it's always funny to me. When I used to cover the Cowboys and Earl Thomas, it was like every 5 minutes someone thought Earl Thomas was coming to the Cowboys. And I was there when Earl Thomas came to the Cowboys locker room without his uniform on after a game and said, please, the Cowboys come get me. Sorry, correction. He went to the locker room, talked to Jason Garrett, and then came back to his own Seattle locker room and among his teammates said, please, the Cowboys come get me. Now, he was from Texas, so we understood that context.
Right.
I think similarly, Jaden and Brandon Ayuk played together at Arizona State. Does Brandon want a new contract? Yes. Do I think that his connection with Jaden suggests that he is going to be a Commander? I'll be happy for you guys if he will, and I'll be happy for Jaden if he gets to play with his friend. But I think that we're not quite there yet, and I don't think the steps have led there. I do think that also, I don't know, when I look at Bryce Young and the Panthers, and I think ownership groups are totally different, but I look at a lot of what the Panthers did last year and I say, okay, they had a quarterback, they got a couple vets, they had a coaching staff that seemed to have a bunch of powerhouses but didn't end up collaborating right. How do you avoid becoming that if you are the Commanders this year? I think that the receivers that Jason will be far better than what Bryce Young had last year and far more reliable. I mean, like, the Panthers were trading their receiver to the Bears and being like, good luck, Bryce Young. Like, that's not what you guys are doing. And you guys have guys. You also brought in Zach Ertz, who I don't think is going to be, like, super dynamic Kyle Pitts, whatever, but I do think that you have enough pieces. Yeah. You also have Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson, who, by the way, like, the way that Dan Quinn views football and the way he views it as multiple, you might have a couple guys who are called receiver, but if you're a receiver, if you're a tight end, if you're a running back, and Dan thinks you can be an asset in the passing game, Jaden will be throwing you the ball. And so, obviously, Cliff, too, and Cliff is the top play caller and offensive voice, but they both really believe in that versatility and multiplicity and all the other illities and isities. And so I think that you will be well set in that position.
That segues us perfectly into my next question, Jory, because one of the, you know, big unknowns, and quite frankly an advantage that I think Washington has schematically on both sides of the football is there's a lot of unknown in terms of how they're going to roll this offense and defense out, for that matter. On the offensive side of the football, you had just alluded to it, Cliff, with an extensive background working with young quarterbacks across the National Football League. Brian Johnson comes in and brings in some of those power spread principles from Philadelphia. He also, you know, instrumental in the development of Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. In terms of what you expect to see from Washington next year offensively, how do you expect it to look? And then I know tempo is something that, you know, Brian Robinson kind of spilled the beans on that in a press conference on accident, saying that there would go no huddle a lot of the times. What were you able to learn about what Washington's looking to accomplish offensively?
Yeah, I spoke to, I think it was something like 7 coaches and 5 players. I was there. So I got to talk to a lot of different people, and you end up getting to just get a lot of perspectives. And one of the things some of the coaches did tell me was, we want to be the aggressor. By that, he meant we want to use tempo to dictate the pace. We don't just want to be responding to what the defense does. And so I think that that is what Brian Robinson was meaning when he says that. I think that means different things. I think it means, again, Jaden's a passer first, but there will be some designed runs intentionally that I would expect to see as soon as the first game that he is out there. And I think that a lot of this will kind of be, well, when they get to training camp and when they have different players working together, what works best then and how can you translate to that field? Now, not what works best in the preseason games, because right, we've seen for a lot of years now that teams are intentionally vanilla in the preseason. Yes. But I do think they'll get more. My other question will be, how well can this offensive line gel together? Because that's one of the biggest challenges for a new group together, because you just can't really get what you need to do, the 5 working as one in the preseason. And so I think that if your offensive line looks shaky in week 1 or week 2, like, could you use more pieces? Probably. But also, do you have a strong chance of getting to be better by week 7 than week 2? Yes. And then you hope that your defensive line is strong enough and has enough weaponry to force some fumbles and get an extra couple of possessions for your offense, so that if the offensive line isn't perfect, it makes up for it.
You said you talked to a bevy of different assistants. Did you talk to the man of the hour here locally, man, Joe Witt? Every time, Jory, he takes the podium, and you got to cover him in Dallas. Every time he takes the podium, it is must-see television. I think that they have the right mix of guys on that side of the football, and it starts with him. What can we expect out of Washington's defense based off of some of your conversations out in Ashburn?
Yeah, I was smiling a few minutes ago when you said that one of the advantages they have is that people don't know, because yeah, I worked pretty closely with Joe in Dallas. Great guy, great coach. Worked very closely with guys like Trayvon Diggs and Jaron Curse and last year Deron Bland to really help them reach their potential in Dallas. And so when I asked him, like, hey, how will your different defense be different than Dallas, I didn't expect him to be like, hey, here's the playbook, thanks for coming. But I expected him to answer the question, right, because he's usually pretty good about that in the 5 years I've known him or so. And he was like, I just told the other reporters and I got to tell you the same thing. Like, I can't let you know because we don't have a lot of things on other people yet, but we do have that. Like, that is our edge. People do not know. But I will say, and again, it sounds cliche, but I think that they practice accordingly, which is that when you think about the effort and the strain, and to them that means like going past the snap, like working through the snap and really going forward and making sure that, yes, you're playing your assignments, but you're not having such complicated assignments that you can't play quickly and you can't make a snap decision to go for the ball. Yeah. Like, yes, Trayvon Diggs' background as a receiver helped him get, 11 interceptions in 1 year, but so did Dan Quinn empowering him to be able to go chase that. And so I think that the ideal is you have that combination, you have the front and the coverage working together.
Jory, I'll let you go on this, my friend. Great stuff, as always. We're joined right now by Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter for YahooSports.com. Please check out her work at YahooSports.com. Just tremendous insight on the 2024 Washington Commanders and how this thing is all coming together. Based on your conversation, I know there's a lot of stuff that didn't make the article, Jory. Is there a name out there that the coaching staff is a lot higher on than maybe the general public that you can share?
I think one thing I'll tell you is that Austin Eckler is obviously not an unknown name, but people might view him as, he's older, he's a running back, we don't value running backs in today's NFL. And one thing that DQ told me is, in addition to what Austin will do in the running game, they really think that with these new kickoff rules and these new, the way you're going to need to break tackles that be a little messier than it used to be and just not as clean of a phase of the game, they think that that phase will play to Austin's strengths. And so I think it's interesting because sometimes you're like, oh, is this going to be a guy who can have 5 yards per carry? Is this going to be a guy who can do what you need to do at the goal line? We'll also look for what he can do on special teams. And just remember that if Austin can figure it out as like a wily veteran with a staff who gets it, and the rest of the league can't, not that no one will, but that will be something that anyone who understands how to exploit these rules really has an advantage because it's something new in the game. That could be a lot of fun for you guys to watch.
Cannot wait to see it live in person in training camp coming up in a couple of weeks. Rookie set to report July 18th. Jory, I appreciate you giving us some time as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
One of the absolute best covering the National Football League, Jory Epstein. Make sure you give her work a follow on the old X app at Jory Epstein, and then check out her work at yahoosports.com. Just tremendous insight and nuggets on how the 2024 Washington Commanders are starting to take shape. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler, coming up at 9:10 right here on The Fan as they get you ready for Nats and Padres. More overtime leading into Nats on Deck next here on The Fan. Big shout out to Jory Epstein, senior reporter for yahoosports.com. Tremendous insight in the interview that we just had with her. She was out in Ashburn for a few days, got to spend some personal one-on-one time with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and 7 to 8 other members of the staff. Bunch of good insight. If you missed any of my conversation with Jory, you are in luck. Download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to 8:30 for my conversation with Jory Epstein. Just plenty of good nuggets on why the transition from LSU to Washington should go seamlessly for Jaden Daniels. And then really good insight on just how hard Dan Quinn is at work trying to make this act as head coach better than the first time around. I'm excited about what Washington could potentially be. My biggest takeaway and biggest nugget out of what Jory had to say is just how involved, and I guess this is something that maybe we'll discuss tomorrow, Windbag Wednesdays on the Team 980, myself and the Rooster, Chris Russell, just how much Washington is going to use Jaden Daniels offensively as a runner. And I think that is a massive advantage that they are going to have when teams are trying to prepare for them, is this kid can flat out run. And I love what Jory told us, is that they view Jaden Daniels as a dual threat quarterback, but his mobility is used to throw the football first and run second. And I just think with what Washington, what I expect from them on defense, and maybe I'm in the minority with this, maybe I have, you know, cautious optimism and I'm the only one that has it. I think defensively they will be able to lead this team on that side of the football. I think they will be better all year long, especially early on as Jaden and the offense try and gel and figure out who they are going to be together as a collective unit. But I will say this about what Jory Epstein had to say. No one knows what they're going to be. They don't even know what they're going to be yet to this point, because in training camp you will begin to put different pieces together and see what groups are able to mesh together. Another key point, and this may be the biggest point of them all, one of the bigger points out of our conversation with Jory, I asked Jory Epstein, Jory, I know you hear the Brandon Ayuk scuttlebutt. I know you hear the rumors about Ayuk's, you know, disdain towards San Francisco. One, what do you think happens with it? And then two, do you think Washington has enough if they don't acquire Brandon Ayuk? Do they have enough for Jaden Daniels to hit the ground running and have success? And Jory's been around the National Football League for a little while, was in Dallas where you got to see a high-octane offense at work each and every day. She was pretty bullish on Terry McLaurin as well as Jahan Dotson. She didn't mention anything about Luke McCaffrey, which was interesting to me. But knowing the relationship that she has with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and some of the former Cowboy members of this staff, I think she's pretty spot on in terms of how they feel internally about acquiring a wide receiver. Now, the report came out yesterday from ESPN's Adam Schefter that Washington was looking to trade for Brandon Ayuk and that they had trade conversations with San Francisco, and now it's being reported that happened during the draft. I still believe, as I said at the top of the show, based on how Ayuk is playing this thing, Washington's still lurking in the weeds as a potential suitor. And based on Ayuk once again going public today with his frustration, quote tweeting a tweet about the report saying, "I thought the Niners weren't trying to trade me, question mark." I think this thing is far from over, and deadlines spur action. The Niners are an organization that carries himself a certain way, and I don't think as a Super Bowl contender that you want this lingering over the head of your franchise as you get geared up for camp. So I think, one, do I think something happens? Yes. I do think something will happen. I don't think San Fran is waiting until the eve of training camp to give their best offer to Ayuk. That'd just be stupid. I do think that something happens, and I do think it's Washington that ends up pulling the trigger. I really do. If the offer price, I guess, of San Fran lowers and Washington's willing to pay that bill, I think they'll get it done. And I think the relationship that Adam Peters has with that front office over in San Fran has just as much to do with the likelihood of this deal happening. You make deals with your friends, people, right? I mean, that's just the way it works, right? At lunch in elementary school, you're not trading your chicken patty to some random stooge, right? You're going to your boy, and you like his mom's chicken snack wrap, and you'd rather have that instead of the chicken patty. And that's how things get done. This is a National Football League, a relationship-based business. And I'll be honest with you, as I continue to say, and I think Jory kind of echoed my sentiments, if Washington acquires Brandon Ayuk, great. I think it'll be good for the franchise. If they don't acquire Brandon Ayuk, then I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. Either way, what I keep saying, the burgundy and gold's back, baby. And I think Jaden Daniels, based on all the details we continue to get, is the guy that will lead this thing into the future. Big thank you to Josh Robbins of The Athletic and Jory Epstein of YahooSports.com for joining us. Make sure you join us out tomorrow live on the concourse at Cap One Arena for our official coverage of the 2024 NBA Draft starting at 7 p.m. over on the Team 980. Nats baseball coming up next. Big shout out to Jory Epstein, senior reporter for YahooSports.com. Tremendous insight in the interview that we just had with her. She was out in Ashburn for a few days, got to spend some personal one-on-one time with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and 7 to 8 other members of the staff. Bunch of good insight. If you missed any of my conversation with Jory, you are in luck. Download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to 8:30 for my conversation with Jory Epstein. Just plenty of good nuggets on why the transition from LSU to Washington should go seamlessly for Jaden Daniels. And then really good insight on just how hard Dan Quinn is at work trying to make this act as head coach better than the first time around. I'm excited about what Washington could potentially be. My biggest takeaway and biggest nugget out of what Jory had to say is just how involved, and I guess this is something that maybe we'll discuss tomorrow, Windbag Wednesdays on the Team 980, myself and the Rooster Chris Russell, just how much Washington is going to use Jaden Daniels offensively as a runner. And I think that is a massive advantage that they are going to have when teams are trying to prepare for them, is this kid can flat out run. And I love what Jory told us is that they view Jaden Daniels as a dual threat quarterback, but his mobility is used to throw the football first and run second. And I just think with what Washington, what I expect from them on defense, and maybe I'm in the minority with this, maybe I have, you know, cautious optimism and I'm the only one that has it. I think defensively they will be able to lead this team on that side of the football. I think they will be better all year long, especially early on as Jaden and the offense try and gel and figure out who they are going to be together as a collective unit. But I will say this. about what Jory Epstein had to say. No one knows what they're going to be. They don't even know what they're going to be yet to this point, because in training camp, you will begin to put different pieces together and see what groups are able to mesh together. Another key point, and this may be the biggest point of them all, one of the bigger points out of our conversation with Jory. I asked Jory Epstein, Jory, I know you hear the Brandon Ayuk scuttlebutt. I know you hear the rumors about Ayuk's, you know, disdain towards San Francisco. One, what do you think happens with it? And then two, do you think Washington has enough, if they don't acquire Brandon Ayuk, do they have enough for Jaden Daniels to hit the ground running and have success? And Jory's been around the National Football League for a little while, was in Dallas where you got to see a high-octane offense at work each and every day. She was pretty bullish on Terry McLaurin as well as Jahan Dotson. She didn't mention anything about Luke McCaffrey, which was interesting to me. But knowing the relationship that she has with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and some of the former Cowboy members of this staff, I think she's pretty spot on in terms of how they feel internally about acquiring a wide receiver. Now, the report came out yesterday from ESPN's Adam Schefter that Washington was looking to trade for Brandon Ayuk and that they had trade conversations with San Francisco, and now it's being reported that happened during the draft. I still believe, as I said at the top of the show, based on how Ayuk is playing this thing, Washington's still lurking in the weeds as a potential suitor. And based on Ayuk once again going public today with his frustration, quote tweeting a tweet about the report saying, I thought the Niners weren't trying to trade me, question mark. I think this thing is far from over, and deadlines spur action. The Niners are an organization that carries himself a certain way, and I don't think as a Super Bowl contender that you want this lingering over the head of your franchise as you get geared up for camp. So I think, one, do I think something happens? Yes. I do think something will happen. I don't think San Fran is waiting until the eve of training camp to give their best offer to Ayuk. That'd just be stupid. I do think that something happens, and I do think it's Washington that ends up pulling the trigger. I really do. If the offer price, I guess, of San Fran lowers, and Washington's willing to pay that bill, I think they'll get it done. And I think the relationship that Adam Peters has with that front office over in San Fran has just as much to do with the likelihood of this deal happening. You make deals with your friends, people, right? I mean, that's just the way it works, right? At lunch in elementary school, you're not trading your chicken patty to some random stooge, right? You're going to your boy, and you like his mom's chicken snack wrap, and you'd rather have that instead of the chicken patty, and that's how things get done. This is a National Football League, a relationship-based business. And I'll be honest with you, as I continue to say, and I think Jory kind of echoed my sentiments, if Washington acquires Brandon Ayuk, great. I think it'll be good for the franchise. If they don't acquire Brandon Ayuk, then I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. Either way, what I keep saying, the burgundy and gold's back, baby. And I think Jaden Daniels, based on all the details we continue to get, is the guy that will lead this thing into the future. Big thank you to Josh Robbins of The Athletic and Jory Epstein of YahooSports.com for joining us. Make sure you join us out tomorrow live on the concourse at Cap One Arena for our official coverage of the 2024 NBA Draft starting at 7 p.m. over on the Team 980. That's baseball coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.